You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The businessman president seems to be losing big business. Donald Trump's promise to turn to America's business leaders for advice and counsel has collapsed. His refusal to lay complete blame for the weekend violence in Charlottesville led to a revolt by CEOs in his business advisory groups. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us. And Daniel, as we know, the president pumped out a tweet on Wednesday. I'm quoting him now. Rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. Thank you all! Exclamation point. But didn't the CEOs break up with the president before he sent out that tweet?
Yeah, I was going to say he had it backwards. It's the CEOs who are putting pressure on him. There's no question about it. Both of the councils were having conference calls earlier in the day. There was a scramble on Tuesday night to try and get together a conference call way after business hours, like 11 o'clock at night. They weren't able to do it. They scheduled one for Wednesday morning. Stephen Schwartzman, who is at Blackstone, who's actually a friend of the president's, convened the strategy forum, which Mary Barra from General Motors sits on. She was on the call. All the other people were on the call. And our reporting and others' reporting pretty much has put together a story where, or a picture in which they went around the horn, so to speak. Everybody had their say. And ultimately, what they agreed to do was to what they called disband and condemn. So they issued a statement that was under Schwartzman's name, essentially, but on behalf of that council, saying that they didn't support this. I mean, I think this is a real interesting and potentially very damaging development for the White House. This was a president who was supposed to be a business-friendly president. He was a CEO, the first real CEO president the country's ever really had who came out of business directly. And he's lost them already, 7 months into his presidency. And I think it's going to be a lot harder for him to get them back in any meaningful way to the extent that he would want them.
Do you think the fact that he's being rebuked by other business leaders, do you think that hit him harder than and his agenda harder than the heat he's taking from other politicians or the public?
Maybe, but I mean, look, these were people that expected an agenda to be executed by a Republican president who was a CEO and by Republican Congress, and it's not happening. Healthcare has been an abysmal failure, healthcare reform, that is. And now they're saying we're going to go on to tax reform. And you listen to people who know Washington and know the situation. I think a lot of people think that any kind of grand tax reform is likely not going to happen. This is going to be one of the greatest situations of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory politically that we've seen in modern times. Mm. And I think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, probably not helped by the fact that as we talk today, he's slamming Lindsey Graham and Jeff Flake, senators who are in his party, who voted for his stuff, slamming them on Twitter.
Yeah, I think this president really believes that the tactics he used in the campaign as a candidate will work as a sitting president. He's coming up against institutional forces, the likes of which he did not anticipate. He's not the king. He won't be the king. He has to deal with the American institutions. And by the way, that includes corporate America, who does not, as a general proposition, answer to the President of the United States. And I think what you saw in the last couple of days was CEOs who were looking at this and surveying the landscape here and said, we want to get out of here. So it's interesting that the president, at the end of that tweet, he thanked them. And as I said in my column today, it's the CEOs who should be thanking the president because he's essentially released them. And I think a lot of them probably didn't, the longer this went on, certainly the Charlottesville issue, but other issues that they saw happening or the inability of this administration to move ahead with an agenda. It was like, you know, we got other things to do. We'd rather not be associated, you know, publicly with this. And the other thing is that there were constituent groups, particularly for consumer-facing companies like a General Motors, as an example, who are starting to turn up the pressure and starting to say, you need to dissociate yourself from this president. And these CEOs knew that was coming, and they knew that was an issue. And the question was, how long can we withstand that? And I think what happened in Charlottesville and his comments on Tuesday and then him releasing them is probably the best thing that could have happened to them.
I will note, when we saw the names of the CEOs who began to resign almost immediately after the Charlottesville retrenching when he came out on Tuesday, you know, Merck and Under Armour and Intel and Campbell Soup and 3M and, of course, AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, Mary Barra's name wasn't on that list.
No, but I think she was probably, from what I understand, was kind of moving in that direction. Remember, too, of all of those sectors that are represented by those various businesses, I think the one sector arguably that has gotten the most presidential attention early on has been the auto industry. The president has been very interested in that. It's ironic that all this happens yesterday on the day that the U.S. opens renegotiation talks over NAFTA with Mexico and Canada. That's a huge issue to the auto industry. How is that going to play out? How is it going to impact our very complicated global supply chain? How is it going to affect pricing on vehicles, tariffs, import duties, you know, the whole nine yards? At the same time, you've got this administration that said, hey, we're going to go back and reinstitute some of the agreements over fuel economy rules that the Obama administration on their way out the door changed unilaterally. So that's also very important to the industry. So they've got a lot of issues right before this administration, and how they play that is going to be critical. And I think they're, one of the wild cards is always, are we going to get on the wrong side of the president and get into a Twitter war with him because we abandon this manufacturing council, or in this case, the strategy forum that Mary Barra was on?
In the meantime, you can't have it both ways. You're either on the right side of history or the side that appears to support neo-Nazis and white supremacists. And even this morning, the president comes in with a series of tweets condemning the push to remove, in his words, beautiful statues and monuments to the Confederacy. I mean,
that's going to be a losing battle, I think. He can say that, but I think ultimately that what you're seeing happen is going to continue to happen.
People are looking for leaders to call him out by name, for instance. Don't do a mealy-mouthed, we condemn racism. How do you do that and still hope to work with him?
Well, that's the issue. And at the end of the day, these CEOs do not work for these amorphous voices on Twitter. They work for a board of directors who are answerable to the shareholders. That's their first duty. And to the extent that they saw that the association with President Trump was going to impinge on that relationship and their duties, they were starting to push away from it. But picking a fight with the White House is over this kind of thing is probably not advisable for a lot of them to do that. And there are going to be people who are going to be disappointed and saying you need to take a more courageous stand. And some companies can do that based upon, for example, Under Armour. It sells athletic gear. It has a lot of sponsored athletes, many of whom are African-American. You know, you could make the argument, we need to take a stand. We need to be very public about this, because if we don't, that impinges on our business. Other companies can look at it a little differently.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.